Welcome to the Atomic Podcast. Whether you're a nurse anesthesia resident in CRNA school or an RN trying to get there, you're in the right place.
I'm Sachi, and along with Rhea, we're going to talk all things anesthesia and science, and we're going to bring along some of our friends too.
Join us each week as we dive into all things science and anesthesia.
Hello, my name is Alex Gorman, and I'm a practicing CRNA and one of Atomic Anesthesia's content experts. This is going to be a slightly different type of Atomic Anesthesia podcast. Instead of the normal, longer-form podcast with Rhea, we're going to be releasing a handful of shorter, hopefully more easily digestible episodes focusing on just one aspect of anesthesia care at a time. Our goal is for these shorter episodes to be easy to listen to and to push our listeners to delve more into these topics on their own. Now, if you've listened to my previous episodes on the Atomic Anesthesia podcast, you know that my primary practice is providing anesthesia for cardiac and vascular cases. In doing these types of cases, I give a very specific medication, protamine, just about every day that I'm at work. Many of you may be scared of protamine, and with good reason. It's a medication that can have some serious side effects when we give it in the operating room. Today, we're going to briefly cover some of the bad things that can happen when we give our patients protamine and how to treat it if any of these things do happen. As I mentioned, I spend the vast majority of my time doing cardiac and vascular anesthesia. These cases are by far the most common ones in which protamine is given. We give protamine to reverse the anticoagulant effects of heparin. In cardiac and vascular anesthesia, heparin is given to thin the blood and prevent it from clotting when blood vessels are clamped or when the patient is placed on the heart-lung bypass machine. At the end of the procedure, the patient might bleed to death if the anticoagulant effects of heparin cannot be reversed. Protamine works because it is a cation, which is a positively charged ion, and it binds with heparin, which has a negative charge. This binding negates the effect of the heparin and allows the heparin to be metabolized and excreted. A fun fact about protamine is that it was initially isolated from the sperm of salmon, although now it is bioengineered in a lab. There are four types of negative reactions to protamine that we will discuss, ranging from the least to the most severe. We'll touch on the mechanism, the symptoms, and the treatments for these different reactions. Type 1 protamine reactions are the most common and the least severe. These are caused by a general histamine-mediated response, and basically all patients that receive protamine have this response to some degree, although it may not be clinically evident. Protamine causes mast cells to degranulate and release histamine, which causes generalized vasodilation. This manifests as hypotension and may be accompanied by a compensatory increase in the patient's heart rate. The main treatment for this type of reaction is to slow down the speed at which you are administering the protamine and to give a peripheral vasopressor to treat the vasodilation caused by the histamine response. These are generally not severe reactions, but in certain patients, such as those with severe coronary artery disease or critical aortic stenosis, the sudden drop in blood pressure can worsen the patient's pathology and cause much more serious problems. The next two types of reactions are closely related in their symptoms and their treatments. These are the type 2A and type 2B reactions. Type 2A reactions are an anaphylactic response to protamine, and type 2B is an anaphylactoid reaction. The main symptom differentiating these from just the general vasodilation seen in type 1 reactions is these reactions generally involve multiple organ systems. So in addition to the hypotension, you may also see bronchoconstriction by looking at increasing peak pressures and decreased tidal volumes on the ventilator, or skin issues like hives. While general allergic reaction medications like diphenhydramine, famotidine, and steroids may help these reactions, if they are serious and the patient is decompensating rapidly, I'm a huge proponent of giving low-dose epinephrine to treat this. Small doses of 5 to 10 micrograms of IV epinephrine will not only treat the symptoms of these reactions by increasing blood pressure and causing bronchodilation, but the epinephrine also stabilizes the mast cells and actually stops the allergic reaction. The main difference between type 2A and 2B reactions is the pathway by which the reaction occurs. Anaphylactic reactions have a typical IgE-mediated response, while anaphylactoid reactions are not immune-mediated. However, differentiating between these two types of reaction in the middle of a case when a reaction is happening is, number one, not really possible, And number two isn't really necessary as the immediate treatment is the same. Once the patient is stabilized, you can draw a tryptase level. And if it is positive, it's likely that the reaction was a type 2A anaphylactic reaction. There are some conventional risk factors that have been discussed for an anaphylactic reaction to protamine, such as men who have had vasectomies and patients who use NPH insulin. However, allergists now believe that the modern bioengineered protamine is less likely to cause reactions in these subgroups of patients compared to the older protamine that was isolated from salmon. Type 3 protamine reactions are the rarest and the most severe. Their exact mechanism isn't really known, but they are likely caused by the release of thromboxane. The release of thromboxane causes sudden, massive pulmonary vasoconstriction. The sudden increase in pulmonary pressures causes catastrophic right heart failure and can quickly cause cardiac collapse. When I'm giving protamine in the cardiac OR, I always keep a close eye on the right heart function on the transesophageal echocardiography, the pulmonary pressures on my pulmonary artery catheter, and I look at the right heart function in the surgical field. If I see the right heart start to fail or the PA pressure start to increase, I would immediately stop the protamine. As I mentioned, treatment for this type of reaction is first to stop the protamine administration and to try to decrease the pulmonary vascular resistance while supporting right heart function. This type of reaction usually happens incredibly quickly, so you don't really have time to get fancy with setting up inhaled pulmonary vasodilators or medications like that. In these cases, when the patient is crashing, I would grab an epinephrine syringe and give small boluses to support the right heart function. Although epinephrine will not decrease the pulmonary pressures, the most important thing is to support the right heart to keep it from failing. In cardiac cases, really the best treatment for this type of reaction is to go back onto the cardiac bypass machine and support the patient's circulatory system until the reaction dissipates and you can get some medication started that will help decrease PA pressures. When I'm giving protamine in the cardiac OR, I always keep a close eye on the right heart function on the transesophageal echo. I keep an eye on the pulmonary pressures on my PA catheter, and I look at the right heart function in the surgical field. Hopefully, by paying close attention to these things, I can notice a protamine reaction quickly and stop giving the protamine before it turns into a more serious reaction. Now, if you've ever wondered why protamine reactions actually happen, next time you're in the operating room, take a few cc's of heparin and mix it with a few cc's of protamine in a syringe. The mixture will immediately precipitate and form big globs of white solids. It's pretty easy to see how these globs can cause your patient's immune system to get very upset when that combines in the patient's body. Protamine is an amazing drug and facilitates a huge number of very complex surgeries. But when we give it, we need to be vigilant to the negative reactions that our patients can have. If you want to learn more about anticoagulants and their reversal agents, like protamine, be sure to check out our cardiac pharmacology course that covers this topics and many other drug classes. You can find the course on our website at www.atomicanesthesia.com. Also, check out the Atomic Anesthesia podcast for more of my short episodes and to look at the library of longer episodes that have been put out over the last few months. It's a great resource. Thank you all for listening. And thank you all for the great care you give to your patients.